Welcome to yet another edition of Hit the Target podcast, proudly brought to you by Hollywood Bets. I'm your host, Jesse Nagel, discussing all things Bafana Bafana. It's time to back our nation and back our boys against Botswana and Sierra Leone. And here to discuss it with me, here to look at the squad, here to discuss everything Bafana related is Chadley Nagel as well as Banele Pikwa. Gentlemen, good to be back. Good to discuss the best team on the continent.
Greetings to the listeners at home. Greetings to you and greetings to Chad. You know, whenever it's Bafana Bafana week, it's that time where debates start. Everybody becomes a football expert. Everybody points out this was not supposed to be called out. This was supposed to be called in. And it's not only in Bafana. True, I mean, we follow the English Premier League. We've seen it also. It's happening everywhere. So I guess it's just when it's International Week, everybody just wants to get involved. That's the excitement that comes with international football.
Time for debates. And, of course, we've recruited Chad from the Premier League podcast. He's now testing himself out in the PSL shores or the local shores, of course, discussing Bafana Bafana. Chad, what are you expecting from this new-look Bafana Bafana side?
I think it's always, you just hope for the best, don't you? Every time Bafana are in action. And they do tend to, and you know, they do tend to build you up to let you down. You know, they get a good result against a top team, a team where they've probably punched above their weight, and we all on like, you know, all in favor of them. And we like, you know, Bafana actually have a chance to like put together a couple of wins. And, you know, from there we can climb up the FIFA rankings, and you know, like, we like, this is our chance, and we always say that, oh, we can beat this team. And you like, we've off air, we've had so many discussions where we've actually jotted down so many teams, and we're like, can Bafana can beat this team, that team, that, and we go through all, but really they build us up to let us down. It's a new look team, so hopefully we see the results haven't been good. Hopefully we see a good result. It's going to be a tricky game because Sierra Leone are a side that I rate very highly. Mm-hmm. They are a good team, and I think you know, it's easy to like just be confident and say Bafana win. I know the game's at FNB Stadium, but at the same time we are facing a side that have that are fearless. In Sierra Leone, they've put together some top results, top performances, and even in AFCON, in the AFCON qualifiers, World Cup qualifiers, where they failed, where Algeria failed to beat them, and other side was Ivory Coast who failed to beat them. So this is a side that's tough to beat, and regardless of whether they're playing, both games were away from home, so they come, they travel to South Africa, obviously confident of another good results.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with Chad, with the fact that they build us up to let us down. You know, like Bafana, let's look at their last AFCON in 2019. You know, the type of team that will beat Egypt, the host nation, and then struggle to beat like a Namibia. You know, that's what that happens with the Bafana Bafana. You know, they'll struggle to go beat
Comoros.
You know, like looking at the last AFCON qualifiers where we just needed a draw against Sudan, and we went on to lose 2-0 that. And then we come back, World Cup qualifiers, we beat a team like Ghana, you know. Yeah. We beat an Ethiopia home and away. That's the inconsistencies that you will see in this Bafana Bafana team, you know. And one minute you think, okay, we are down and out. Next minute you think, okay, wow, we actually did this, you know. So that's the thing with the Bafana Bafana. But I've liked, since the Hugo Broos has arrived, I've liked how he went on about his business. And you look at the friendlies, also the type of friendlies Bafana are playing. You look at, he tested this side against France, you know, the world champions, and we were thrashed 5-0. And he was like, no, I wasn't expecting a result, but I just wanted to see how far are these boys against top teams, top players like Mbappe's, and we were thrashed. After that, we went on to play Guinea, you know, your Nebicator Guinea, and we drew 0-0, you know. So after that, we played a top team in the world champions, and we played against a fairly decent African team. Mm. And then after that, we went on to face Morocco. In Morocco, they beat us 2-1, you know, which is not so bad. Now we're playing against Sierra Leone, mm-hmm. a team that had qualified for the last Nations Cup. So I like the balance, you know, yeah. from world champions to a decent team, an African decent team, to a team that qualified for the World Cup, mm-hmm. to now another decent team, you know. So you must test yourself in all ages. Okay, we're doing this against the Sierra Leone. This is how we did against the Morocco. This is how we did against the Ghana. This is how we did against France. You can then now compile a report and see where we are and how to improve. So I like the balance.
And even if we lose all those games, Chad, how would you feel about that? Because like Benelli mentioned, it is top opposition. It is opposition rather that you could argue is currently better than Bafana. We have to be realist in this situation in order for us to improve. Even if Bafana were to lose to your France, your Morocco, your Guineas, even though they drew the game, but let's just say it had gone in a different direction, I still feel, I'm not too sure how you guys feel, but I still feel like that could be some sort of progress, or if not progress, but more lessons learned than a victory over your Comoros.
It's a man of defeat.
Yeah, no, I think it's just can be really difficult and challenging to analyze Bafana. You know, like Benelli makes a good point, but just the type of experience playing against like world class opposition in France. But also, what's scary about that defeat was the fact that, well, clearly it was one sided as the scoreline suggested. But what we also failed to probably acknowledge is the fact that Karim Benzema didn't even play that game.
Yeah,
it's almost scary to think like how much more influence and what the scoreline would have been had he started. And it just shows the gulf in class of obviously France compared to us, and which is expected. Like you say, Hugo Bruce he actually said before the game that, you know, we're going to lose the match. It was the first time he actually said that. But I remember after that game, most of us agreed was the wrong players kind of got the experience.
Yeah.
And like now he switched it up again. It's a new team.
Yeah.
Timbazwani has come back into the side. He's left out key players in Percy Tau and Keegan Dolly, which are quite surprising for me. Yet Timbazwani comes in, who is a very good player. But then you make a case for him, and then there's no argument for Andile Jali. It's like, you know, we've got to be consistent. Either one player is too old or like, you know, there shouldn't be this like, no, this is what mean, like, you know, this applies to you and then something applies to someone else.
I like the fact that we brought up the personnel, Benelli, because it's maybe to, you know, extend to Chad's point, or maybe to disagree somewhat so, is that, you know, players like, for example, Kaniso Mayo, Lyle Foster, Mihlali Mayambela, they don't have the experience. And Chad mentioned the wrong players got the right experience when they played against France. But, you know, you look in attack, Percy Tau, Keegan Dolly, they've played Champions League. They've won Champions League. They've both played abroad. You look at Simon Kosi-Lorch, he's played in AFCON and stuff. So they don't really need this experience as much as your Mayambelas or your Mayos. So how is that possibly what the thinking is behind Hugo Bruce's decisions?
Sure, you never know with Hugo Bruce, to be honest. But I think the omission of Percy Tau was influenced by injury. Mm-hmm. I think it's the injury that influenced. And Dolly, you know, I think it's the ups and downs at Kaizer Chiefs. I don't think it was maybe because of trying to give to say, okay, when you've played this, now let's give these a chance. You know, I don't think it was like that, which would have been also a very good answer if he gave that. But yeah, I think it was solely because of Chiefs' underperforming and Tau's injury and the ups and downs.
But then you've got a Sokota and Dupree.
Al Ali. So Dupree's only came in now. Mm. Initially, there was one Chiefs player, and he said also that he didn't want to call Chiefs because when the squad was announced, Chiefs were 14th on the log, and he said he's been disappointed with how they've went about this season. But yeah, I mean, you like Uche had said, I made very good points. One minute it says so-and-so is too old. Next minute, he brings a player who's the same age as the player that he said is too old, you know. So where's the consistency in that? 1 minute, you've had this group of players plays against France. The next minute, all of that experience now that we were saying you're building, it's gone. Yeah. You're bringing in completely new players, you know. What are you then doing with the team? You know, where's the continuity? Those are the things that we've complained about. But it's exciting to see Abu Mihlali Mayambela, Abu Khanyiso Mayo in the team. But all we want now is consistency, not this chopping and changing. You know, 1 minute you see your Bruce Boomers are in the team, the next, they're not in the team.
Yeah.
You know, your Bloms are in the team, they're not in the team. There's a lot of changes in the Bafana team.
I think if I can play devil's advocate a bit, I think Bruce wants 35 or 40 South Africans who are ready instead of 12 or 11.
I get that, Jesse, but you know, like a player like, for example, Lubongo Shilongwane, when he was at Maritzburg, he'd make Bafana, he'd do well, even scored the goal against Ghana. You know, he's a player that was playing consistently, and you watch him in the MLS, you know, when we're watching ESPN, he's there, he's getting back-to-back men of the matches, and you think, okay, from the little players that we have that are playing abroad, he's going to be one of the players, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same Hugo Bruce that complained and said, the PSL, you can't challenge with PSL players, you know. And he was criticized so much. But it's, which I think, okay, he was right with that. But now you've got players that are playing, are getting game time abroad, but you're still snubbing them.
Yeah.
What is which now? You know, you're going back to the same PSL players that you said we can't compete with them, but the ones that are playing overseas.
It makes it very confusing. Like, you know, from the outside looking in, you look at when the squad is named, it's almost, I mean, that's the case every single time. And I know, like, even the English also have this case when it comes to English squad, England national team being picked. South Africa, we know there's a big pool of talent in this country. We know that even the side that's picked, there's talent in there. You know, one player I'm disappointed to see is the new Sundowns left back, Terence Mashego. Disappointed that he's injured and he's unfortunately won't play a part in the game. But the talent is there. It's undeniable, the talent that we have. It's just, you know, like the, you know, it's just, so we want some consistency, and we want to get like let us in on, like, give us some help us to understand, like, the reasoning behind your decisions that you're making. I think, like, you made a point about, you know, like the players like Percy Tau and Lorch, who has Dolly. Experience, and Dolly, who has, but is that not the players that we want to take as we look to qualify for AFCON?
Yeah.
So you know, there's that sense. I think we have to keep those players who are based overseas, because they, I mean, that's the ultimate goal, right? Even for our local players, is to make it to play for a team in Europe or overseas. That's the goal. And speaking of Sierra Leone, well, they've kept six players from their Chan squad, but they've just two players in their squad play in their league. All are overseas-based players.
But I think...
And they brought that squad for the game against Bafana.
Maybe I'm looking at it different. Maybe I just want to see, as a South African football-loving supporter who just wants to see Chiefs against Pirates, or Chiefs against Baraka, or Baraka against Pirates or Sundowns, and just see two teams of internationals. And right now, I think I'm slowly starting to see that. Like, you look at Sokota. You know, a few months ago or a few weeks ago, we wouldn't have thought of him being an international or just at lower division, but never ever at this level. So for him to be given the opportunity, for Mihlali Mayambela to be given the opportunity, you can see what Khanyiso Mayo is doing at Cape Town City. I want to see Cape Town City and see a team of internationals, especially when they're rubbing shoulders with the likes of Sundowns, who, by the way, have a Bongani Zungu and Jali, as Chad mentioned, who aren't even in the squad. There's so much quality. Sundowns have a team of internationals. I think I just want the rest for that with regarding the other PSL teams.
Yeah, look, we all want that, Jesse, and believe me, you, every league in the world wants that. But the reality is that you cannot compete with players from your domestic league, you know. It's not only about the PSL also. You know, no matter how good the PSL can be, they'll never match the players that are coming from your English Premier Leagues and your La Ligas. And it's not only us. You look at, it's not only African teams. You look at your Switzerland, your Brazils, to talk about. Those teams are not playing with players from their domestic league. And I believe those leagues are even better than the PSL. But if you're still playing in those leagues, forget about the national team. You know, your Belgiums also, like you'd get two or three players playing in the Belgian league, and the Belgian league is way better than your PSL. So what we're saying here is that we shouldn't, the goal is shouldn't be like to say, okay, I want to have five Chiefs players in the national team, five Chiefs. We want to have five ex-Chiefs players, maybe like a Blom now, send him overseas, let him play for like a Mallorca or whatnot.
I think the problem lies within some South Africans and thinking that, you know, it's not better overseas.
It's the mindset.
I think it is the mindset, because people or maybe players are probably thinking the likes of Doctor, the likes of Teko, they've played in the country their whole life and they were successful for the national team. So maybe they're thinking that could happen again in the future. I do agree with what you're saying.
I think when, as you say that, one player that comes to mind is Sebogo Mokoena. I mean, ball at his feet, you know, fantastic talent.
Could have moved abroad. Yeah.
Had the opportunity to do so. The clubs came knocking, the European clubs. And what does he do? You'd rather be a star in your country for Sundowns, and that's not even the case now.
Yeah. You look at, sorry to cut you off there, but you look at 98 and 2002. We'll always use that as a benchmark. At that time, we qualified for back-to-back World Cups convincingly, and we went 98 final in the AFCON, 2002, you know, semifinals of the AFCON. And you look at the players there, probably only three players that were playing in the PSL at that time, maybe Udoctor and Brian Baloyi, only three players
and
or
what
whatever.
And what a squad
and
that
what
was.
What a squad it was, you know. You had
Nassif Morris.
Nassif Morris, you know, you had Panathinaikos, you had Bolton, you had, you know, Premier League, you know, Fulham.
Ruben Kazan.
You know, we had one of the best players, and it was so easy for us to qualify for World Cups, to reach, and the same thing. And you look at Senegal also, how many players are playing domestically? None. But you look at how easy it is for them to qualify for World Cup. You look at they reaching AFCON finals back-to-back because they've got players that are playing in the top leagues.
It's not just players playing the top leagues. How can they get it right and we can't? We know we have talent here in this country. Like, look at, it's not just playing abroad. Senegal have players who play for, their three best players play for Chelsea and Bayern Munich.
You know,
Sadio Mane and Edouard Mendy and Kalidou Koulibaly.
I think it works for some. You look at Morocco, Egypt, Algeria. I think it only works for two of the three, because Algeria's squad is mostly European based, but Morocco, there are some players who have been
Morocco, if you remember, when we played them, they were fresh from winning the Champions League, which was weighed at Casablanca, and FC Rabat winning the Confederations, and there were only three players in the squad that play in the Moroccan league.
They've got a lot of players that play abroad.
Most of their players were coming from abroad. And you look at a country that has won the Confederations, both the two of the biggest continental club competitions, and we only had three from that league. And their league is probably even better than ours. We don't know.
Yeah. But in the that's another debate.
But they only had three players. So the reality is that if you want to compete for big things, if you want to make World Cups and all of that, our players have to start going abroad
and change the mindset.
Yes, we
work harder.
Work harder, you know. And it's doable. You can still have like a Morocco and your Algerians. You can still have a team that is competing for inter-club success. You know, your Champions League, your Wydad is always there. Your Raja is always there. You know, your Rabat is always there. And you can also have a strong national team. So it's a doable.
And it's not like we haven't done it before. We've proved that it can be done.
I think my last defense would be, for the players, is that are our scouts paying close attention to the overseas South Africans? And that's where I'm not too fully convinced. So I'd say Boko Mokoena, why would he move to Turkey or wherever he was supposed to go
if
he's not going to be noticed by whoever's watching and whoever's making decisions at the national team?
Yeah, that's a fair one. It's a fair one.
So, South Africa's dream to play for the national team.
And same thing we said about Thabo Mokotlhongwane when he was at Maritzburg, he used to play for Bafana. You know, he was.
And now our scouts aren't watching MLS, so there's a problem there.
this is a big problem. Mm-hmm. This is a big problem. I'd also, if you look at it that way, I'd also choose to play for a Sundowns and play for Bafana and win the league and win this and get paid a good salary, you know, then go to the MLS and not play for Bafana. If you're looking at it like that, but the correct way of doing things is let the players go overseas. Let them play your UEFA Champions League. Let them be in the mix of those.
Like Percy Tau, he worked hard. I mean, you know, sometimes gets a bad rap from me even. But you know, he's worked hard.
And he saw the
PSL. With all due respect to the PSL, and it's a great league, we love it. But he saw it as a stepping stone to greater things.
Yeah.
And that's the mindset that unfortunately that we have to have, because Europe can offer. Can offer us something better. I feel like as a player, and I know you're saying it like it's also based on I want to play for my country. It's my dream.
Yeah.
I don't think that's always the case. Sad to say, I think it's money driven a lot of the time, and especially when Sundowns come calling. And I'm not taking any jibes or I'm not throwing any stones at any. Sundowns supporters. Sundowns supporters.
We know stones and they throw.
Yeah, Propilani, if you're listening, sorry. but like you know, it's just that you know when teams flex their financial power, like you know, a team like Sundowns, and they're the perfect example of this. If they can put they offer you something you've never even dreamed of having. And you get to still do what you love. You don't think about playing abroad. All of a sudden, like, hey, I'm settled here.
Yeah.
I have my family here. I might as well just stay here. I earn the same amount of lot of money. So I also think these goes back to the players' mindsets. You know, you've got to also look at where's the ambition of, like, if I was a professional footballer, I would want to. Like, you know, I want to dream of playing in the most biggest football leagues on the planet and playing the biggest club competitions. And if you do, how difficult is it for you to make it to play for your national team?
You're money shaming.
I'm just saying. It's unpopular, but it makes sense.
I think before we get into predictions, of course, I think let's just settle in the debate there. I mean, you guys seem to think that playing abroad would be the best ticket to Bafana, or at least should be the way it's supposed to be. I feel like we've got other issues to address, like our scouting issues.
Yeah.
And our, you know, there's so much more to address than players just taking the first offer overseas. I fully understand players like Tebogo Mokoena who choose to stay in the country, or players like, you know, there's so many, in fact, who obviously have chosen, even Dr. and Teko and stuff, are great revelations for that. You can stay in the country and be successful. So, and playing World Cups and stuff. So,
sorry, before you wrap it up, I just look at Keegan Dolly, right? He was playing for Rennes. Is it Rennes? Rams.
Montpellier,
sorry. Yeah. He is playing in the French League One.
That was Erasmus. So playing
he's playing in the French League One. Yeah. Even Erasmus, playing overseas in a top league, one of Europe's top five leagues or one of the most popular leagues in European football. Look now, look at where they are now.
Yeah.
And look at Dolly, like missed out, not even selected for two.
For a friendly game.
Come on. But still though, look at Erasmus, how his career is gone. So, you know, I think the facts speak for itself, and I think playing abroad is ideal.
Definitely.
I think let's just agree to disagree. I'm not going to agree with that. But
Matiba.
let's get into prediction. We've, you know, had our fat lot to say about the squad, who deserves to be there, who should be overseas, who should be in the country. But time for predictions. It is a tough game. It's not going to be easy.
Anyway. Yeah, it's definitely not going to be easy. You know, so what happened was, the rule that FIFA made in 2002, if not 2000, that you can be born, like for example, in France and play for South Africa, you know, that rule has made African teams, has strengthened a lot of African teams.
Look at Ghana.
like that rule has strengthened, and a lot of African teams, the smaller ones, are now taken advantage of that. You look at your Comoros, you look at your Sierra Leones, they went abroad, they sent people abroad to look for people that can be eligible to play for their country that are not playing for their teams. And let's be honest, for France, it's not easy. So if you go to France, there's a lot of people that have your African DNAs, and you just take them, you know. Mm-hmm. You look at Cape Verde also, how many guys were born in Portugal in their squad. So same thing with Sierra Leone, and people will be thinking, why are we saying Sierra Leone tough? There are a lot of guys who want to be born in Sierra Leone that will be playing in this fixture, and there's a lot of European-based players as
Ghana
well.
As well, they've got Englishmen now.
But you know what's funny is you're saying that, and I thought of Aston Villa's right-back, Matty Cash. You've got a Matty Cash, the most English name, playing for Poland.
Yeah, but even in this game, you know, there's a lot of guys who play in like the lower leagues, you know, like for your QPRs and things like that. Even in Belgium, there's guys like that. You've got guys in Spain, your Switzerland, you've got Israel, you know. Mm. So it then becomes a tough game because, I mean, Championship is still a good league. First Division in Belgium is still a good league, you know. So to compete against these players then makes it difficult, you know. So there's some interesting names here, which makes this game tough. I don't agree with the betting. Sierra Leone shouldn't be 4-1.
That's crazy.
Yeah, this is a team. They drew with Algeria, you know. They drew with Cote d'Ivoire, like Chad said. You know, so that all that merits respect, you know. They qualified for AFCON, we didn't. All that merits respect. So it'll be a much closer game. They definitely shouldn't be at 4-1. I would have given them something like a 2-1, half of that. So, yeah, if Bafana, they can win it. If they win it, they'll have to work hard. If they don't, then I think Sierra Leone would be happy to pick up the pieces. And if you go for away win draw, I think it's at even money. So I wouldn't rule it out today. Just because of the price, I'll go for away win draw.
Gent, before I give my prediction.
Yeah, we know your prediction. I suppose we should end off with you on a happier note. But, you know, it's an inexperienced Bafana side.
Yeah.
And for that reason, like Benelli said, you just have to pay respect to Sierra Leone, and you have to respect what they've achieved. They're in the AFCON, we aren't. They've showed their grit against the tough, the big boys, the big teams, Cote d'Ivoire, you know. So I just think South Africa, I think a draw wouldn't be the worst result. But at the same time, I do see Sierra Leone edging it. Or I think the best betting play in this for me is under 2.5 goals. But I think I think Sierra Leone edge it. I think the one thing that I can say is Sierra Leone don't have a goal scorer, which gives us a chance. But I just think not very little confidence in Bafana at the moment, especially in this inexperienced squad. Where are the goals coming from? So, you know, I just think Sierra Leone to win 4-1. That's good. Yeah.
And I know the facts are the facts. They're in AFCON, we're not. But this is two nations at different times of their projects. Sierra Leone coming towards, you know, well in their project. Benelli mentioned, you know, sending people abroad to France and many other countries. That didn't start this year or last year.
Yeah.
That started a long time ago, and they've built towards, you know, qualifying for major tournaments like this. So they had a different spectrum to where South Africa are. South Africa are still in the trial and error phase of whatever they're trying to achieve. I know we spoke about Vision 2022 for so many years. We're in 2022 now, and this is the start of something new, possibly to Vision 2024. So I feel like South Africa actually won this quite convincingly. I'm going to, you know, I put my faith in South Africa in this friendly. You've got a solid backline. You've got Ronan Williams, the captain. You've got a backline of Derok and Sibisi in centre back. You've got a Kulisa Motau. You've got Sitole in front of them. You've got a Aubrey Modibe.
We've got a good team.
That's an excellent defence, a back five with Williams as well. And then you've got a, you know, Kanisa Mayo, who's, you know, slotting them up top for Cape Town City. So if he emulates that form for the national team, then, you know, we quite dangerous. In fact, we're not just a decent team. We can be, you know, we can actually stun them to actually a thrashing.
Well, I'd love to see that.
I think Benelli and I would both want that.
But that's the thing, though. You see the players that I'm mentioning, and there's no shortage of quality there. Yeah. These are top players.
That's true. It's top players, but I mean, Akanye Samayo, this is the biggest, we got to be wary because he's never played for the national team before, you know. So it's just those minor gaps that, you know, that make us a little bit wary. But yeah, we do have a team. It will be an interesting game. Like I said, when you started the podcast, that is, I like the balance, you know, from facing this team. From it's not like we're facing like a super, super weak team, you know. Mm-hmm. It's a decent team, and it's a good test for our boys to flex their muscle and see how far they are.
I'm quite confident, I'm not going to lie. So that's it from us in studio. We've got Chad, who thinks Sierra Leone would will come out on top. We've got Banele down the middle, and me rooting for our boys. And yeah, let's wish our boys all the best. Betting wise, I know you aren't, Chad, but Nation before.
Yeah, no, before for pockets, sure. After Bafana, I'm going to have my Bafana shirt on, and I'm just going to be cheering the guys on.
In the Makarapa.
My Makarapa also. Yeah. Overall as well.
Until next week.
Sharp.
Cheers.